CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right. Look who's here. It's Simpiwe, and it's Kamo, and it's me, and it's you. This Wednesday morning. Kamo Mbatha, of course, you will remember from just last week. We had him on Friday. We were talking about the World Cup soccer, which is just around the corner. We got a lot of that.
Yes, it is.
A lot of that to get excited about. And I must tell you, after Friday's show, I was suddenly all like, all amped up for this thing. And Simpiwe is looking resplendent in the studio this morning. She looks like she has had a very good start to her day, and that this beautiful Wednesday morning is going to turn into an excellent and productive day. I mean, that's how everybody hopes it will be, right? Hey, Simpiwe.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Simpiwe.
All right.
How are you guys doing?
Excellent. How are you?
I am awesome.
I've got my coffee, so I'm good.
Yeah, that's all you need, right? Like, same here.
That's all you need.
I have to ask this question. Why is it? I mean, it sounds like such a simple thing, but there's still no answer for it. We're always looking at human nature, you know, and why people behave the way they do. Why is it when it rains, people can't, like, drive properly on the highways and roads? You always see these broken down cars. You always see these cars with their flashing lights on, and they're either driving so super slow, and you don't need to go so super slow. Sometimes that's when the problems happen. Or they're going crazy fast because of the rain. They're not paying attention. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. I always feel like you have to drive with confidence. And people who don't drive with confidence, I think then the weather will kind of dictate how you drive. But if you drive, you know, trusting that you're in control and, you know, whether it's raining or not, then I think you'll be fine, because you kind of know, okay, cool, this is how to move. I think it's people who adjust the way they approach driving when it rains, where it's like, yeah, do you know how to drive? Because that's the real test. Like, driving in the rain is when you have to kind of show that I can actually drive. That's the real driving test, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very long answer for people just bought licenses. Finish and clear. They really don't know how to drive. That's it. That's
right.
The truth. Mm-hmm. And also, people be driving cars that are not road worthy. Do you know how many taxis are not on the road when it's raining?
I agree with they you can't, that people
the water will
on the
come,
second one. I disagree on the first one.
The people water will actually come drive in through the top of some of these taxis. Yeah, like some of them will. Yeah.
So you won't see them on the road when it's raining. They're not on the road. So it's a sign. But I don't think people know how to drive. Chief, they be buying licenses here for like, what, 2.5?
Well, that's the thing. I think there's a spectrum, right, of buying licenses, because I think to actually pass the test is by design probably not the easiest thing to do. That's why you have to turn to, oh, okay, I see what I need to do to get that pass, right? Uh-huh. Because I think it's such a stringent test that they can literally just throw one thing at you and be like, nope, it's done. So I think someone figured it out that, hey, man, if we just set the bar incredibly high, unrealistically high, we could make some money out of this. I think that's where we are.
Well,
unfortunately.
Let's hope somebody's listening. You never know. I mean, like, you know, we've got very smart people in this little community of ours, in our little audience here on CliffCentral.com. And I've always said that I'd rather have 10 of the people that we currently have listening, even though they give me shit nonstop. I mean, you know what this audience is like. If you anything I say that they don't agree with, geez, they tear me a new, you know, hole in my back. But if I had the stupid audience that I used to have on radio, you can guarantee I wouldn't learn anything, they wouldn't learn anything, and we'd all just be as dumb at the end of the day as we were at the start of it. But on this show, now in the mornings, I get to hear from really, really smart people. A lot of these people have been paying attention to the American election results as they've been coming in. I haven't seen a thing, because as far as I can tell, it's really the next 6 or 7 hours that are going to determine the midterm election results. So I haven't watched. I will today. Don't you worry. I'll be paying attention. Same. But we've got an interesting interview at 7 o'clock this morning with David Smith. You know, last week, was it last week or the week before, we had Joel Pollack, who's from Breitbart
last
News.
Week.
Right. They're firmly on the right. This morning, I've got David Smith. He's from The Guardian, which is firmly on the left. So it's almost like we've got a little bit of MSNBC today, and we had a little bit of Fox last week. So we can see. So don't say that we don't try to bring some balance here, because I know that you know, the people who loved hearing from Joel Pollack last week are going to be pissed off with what David Smith says today. And the people who love David Smith today are going to be pissed off about last week. So it's terrific. We make everybody happy and pissed off, which is what I want. And I'm not one of those people who could care less about trying to be balanced. I just think it helps for us to have both points of view. And I mean, I gave both.
I mean, how much stuff that did you kind of agree with Mr. Pollack? Did you find that there was a lot of stuff you were saying where you're lying?
You know, I think my politics are like, if I think about it really hard, I'm not particularly emotional or hardcore about any of these issues. I would prefer a government that isn't completely crazy in America, just so that we don't have a completely crazy downstream result here in South Africa. But I look at what's happening in the US at the moment, and it is clear to me that the Democrats in the last 2 years have been mismanaging everything. You know, all they had to do, all Joe Biden had to do, was just switch the economy back on and not interfere. But he and his Democrat friends could not resist pumping money that they did not have back into the economy. They pumped more money into the U.S. economy, gave free money into the U.S. economy, printed it, than has ever existed on Earth up to a year or two before this. Ever. That's how much. You think about that. That's unprecedented in any way, right? And I don't think that's very smart. I also don't think that all these crazy things that they're trying to do by, like, transing the kids and by making, you know, race politics the number one thing in America, and that's really a Democrat thing. I don't see that as being very smart, because the average American, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, and this is going to be borne out today in the polls, I believe, doesn't care about that stuff as much as they care about inflation, the cost of living, the cost of fuel, jobs, and all of that stuff. So I think that the Dems are going to get a hiding today. I think that's an easy prediction to make, especially if you look at the early polling from all the pollsters, the right, the left, and the middle. But I also think that, you know, the issues that some Republicans are very, very serious about are not the issues that I could particularly care about. I'm not fazed by, you know, I'm a social liberal. In other words, if you want to, like, gay marriage has never been an issue to me. I could care less about that. Or abortion doesn't really affect me. And I do believe I'm probably more on the pro-choice side than anything else. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a woman. I haven't got a child that I didn't want or that I did want. So I don't really have a dog in that fight at this stage. People must do whatever they want. I'm also not massively into, you know, religion or anything else. But what I do care about, and what I think a lot of people are probably motivated by this time round, which wasn't an issue in any previous election, is the way that people had very divergent policies when it came to coronavirus. And you remember the lockdowns? No one will forget that. No one's forgetting that in a hurry. These politicians who, and remember in this country, Cyril was obviously at the forefront of all of this with, well, you must sanitize, you must put on a mask, you must do, you know how he did all this shit every week for us on TV, and it was pointless. And they were all saying, you know, some of them were saying we need a vaccine mandate. I went and got two shots of the Pfizer, which I've said already I'm kind of regret. Some people don't regret it. Some people think it was great. I think it was so stupid to keep kids out of school. We found out very early on in this process that this didn't affect children the way that it affected everyone else. And in America, I think there are a ton of people who are very pissed off about the way certain politicians were hard about this lockdown and tried to be draconian and push down all kinds of rules that changed people's lives in a big way. And I think they're going to go to the polls today and they're going to punish those people. And unfortunately for the Democrats, they were the ones who were very pro-lockdown. You know, the states that opened up as quickly as possible were states like Florida, which are Republican-run. And I wouldn't be surprised if governors like Ron DeSantis and others in red states wouldn't be surprised if they are the ones who get the benefit of people voting now, because those people are going to be angry about what happened then, and they're going to let this they're going to let that stew for a little bit. So there are a bunch of politicians who are going to get their asses handed to them today, and it's not a bad thing. We've got to remind these people, and I'm not just talking about American elections here. I'm obviously talking about ours, which are not that far away. We got to remind these people we're in charge of them. That's the whole point of democracy, you know. So anyway, listen to the discussion with me and David Smith later on. That is all I have to say right now about the U.S. elections. We'll have more as, you know, the thing unfolds through the course of the day. But, Kamo, there's something very important we need to discuss this morning, and it's something that I caught everybody at the office, mostly Ryan and Simpiwe, talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
It was all the rage on social media yesterday, too. So maybe you want to explain this, and then Simpiwe can jump in, and then we've got a special guest who I know our audience love hearing from. She'll be joining us in just a minute. What happened? What was the big story on social media in South Africa yesterday?
Booth!
Mm-hmm. Matthew.
Oh, it wasn't a cheesecake. And... Damn.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just, there's so many ways to kind of go at it. There's the cheesecake angle, there's the Matthew Booth angle. But I mean, at the end of the day,
let's just start.
One of our beloved
start with this, because I didn't know what the hell was happening. I walked into the office yesterday, and everybody, everyone in the office, down to the last person, was like talking about Matthew Booth has been cheating on Sonia Booth. They're a famous celebrity couple. Sonia Booth has worked with us at Cliff Central, so full disclosure, you know, I'm very sad for her. She's she's a friend. She's been a part of our Cliff Central family for a long, long time. I thought their marriage was pretty solid. He often used to come into studio with her when she was doing a show. Matthew, famous footballer. What is the cheesecake angle? Because I still am not clear on this.
Okay, so there's the cheesecake angle, but we got to back up a little bit, because essentially cheesecake and Tupperware for me are the two kind of keywords. And anyone knows that you don't mess with a black woman and her Tupperware, you know, because that is some high quality plastic container stuff that you're dealing with there, you know. So I mean, I even inherited Tupperware. It's kind of, it's the stuff that stands the test of time. But essentially, oh, man. Our mate was, you know, I guess enamored with someone else whilst being married. And so the big thing that kind of drove everyone insane was that he one day, on the eve of his son's birthday, was filling the house with a smell. I don't know how cheesecake smell like, you know, but I know when you bake, usually there's vanilla essence in the air, you know, and that's... And you know when someone's baking, it's like, I can't wait to tuck into whatever that is, right? Except Matthew did the whole thing and then said cheesecake left his home without anyone in the home getting to taste said cheesecake. He put the cheesecake in his beloved wife's Tupperware to deliver it to his friend. And everyone was just like, friend, whoa, man.
His friend his being friend. The woman he's... seeing on the side, right?
Yeah. Oof. yeah his gym buddy. I mean, wow. You know, so I it's because a lot of the photos of them together, they're in gym clothes, so you know, that's another thing. It's like for you to be like to someone who's been sweating, and you know, is the, you know, black woman's hair when they sweat gets all frazzled and shit.
Jesus.
To look at that and be like
well. You know, Simpiwe, like, before I bring our special guest in, anything you want to add to this that we may have missed?
I will say, so I don't know if you guys ever watched Why Did I Get Married? If you did, you'll know that there's a character called Angela. And we all thought that lady was crazy, because she was like, I check Marcus's pass. I check when he goes to the gas store and see like how long that trip was. I'll check bank statements to see how much he's making and how much he's spending. And she like had this whole, she even knew his resting heartbeat, right? And we're like, oh, this lady is crazy. And on social media, we found out that no, Angela is based off a real character, that people do this. This was well documented from the time it started until the time she decided to expose everything, from trips to the infamous cheesecake that has become South Africa's national dessert now. to just even like saying that, you know, she got like a private investigator. So yeah, she did the whole nine yards of like saying it started in February and this is what's happened. My car was used. And then where I drew the line was the Tupperware. That's yeah. where she was just like, don't mess with a black woman and her Tupperware.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you get.
That's what you get. I feel that there's no one better than, you know, I would usually say Dr. Hanan. And, you know, if we can get Sonia on, I would love her to come and talk to Dr. Hanan, because there are lessons in all of this for the rest of us. And I know she's already kind of gone public with this on social media. So at least here she'd know she was in a safe space. But I know that someone else is very outspoken about these things. And the audience of this show love when we bring her on, because she represents so many of us and says the things that we're too afraid to say. And she is none other than us, Jane Malachi. Hello, Jane. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Now, Jane, you were already pulling faces when Kamo was talking about like frazzled hair and stuff. I saw you pulling a face there. You have something to say about that before we even move on to the Sonia and Matthew Booth issue?
Yeah, because I heard him when he say, when the black woman's hair sweaty, in other words, the black woman's hair smell like.
Yeah, smell. Smell. Smells like a guy.
But if you know what you're doing, you will never even hear the sweating, because you know exactly what you're doing. You see, sometimes people, they pretending like they go to the gym while they know that they're going to see their potential. That's life.
Yeah, it's a whole new meaning of a workout.
In other words, we're going to trust our partner when they say they go to the gym, especially mine. He's going to the gym every day, like 10 o'clock until 6 o'clock at night. Do you think he has some potential at the gym? The one that show him how to build the body or how to look good?
So, Jane, I mean, a lot of people would say, and some people already mentioned the show, a woman knows. A woman can tell when her man is doing something that she doesn't approve of, that she knows he shouldn't be doing. She can tell. There's an instinct, right?
Actions bigger than words. You can see the changes. Men, I don't know how I can put this. You know, once men cheat, you can see he changed a lot of things. He forget about himself. He doing the thing that he never do at the house. You can see maybe sometimes he's on the phone 24/7. He never be on the phone 24/7. But you can see there's something wrong with this man. It's what they do all the time.
What sort of behavior besides the phone? Because obviously these days that's where the cheating starts, is on the phone, right? Even if you don't know the person in person, you can find them on social media. That's where a lot of people are cheating at the moment, don't you think?
I think that's correct, Babaji. It's what people they do all the time. Like, yeah, social media, I think, is where people, they can just do whatever they want. They find the potential on social media. You can find your men on social media. It's where you can connect, doing all of those things. And it's where the cheating starts.
Well, Kampamba says, black women will share a penis but draw the line at Tupperware.
Yes.
That's true.
Do you know how expensive Tupperware is, Gareth? Yeah. Do you know what cult it has accumulated over the years? Like, this thing, Gareth, you don't just get it everywhere. There's stock fails. Our mothers are in Tupperware stock fails. So it's very personal. Even I felt that. I was like, the disrespect.
And it's built to stand the test of time, right? I think Sonia put it in the garage there to say, hey, man, there's a Tupperware, and you can drive over it. Like, you know, in those ads when you drive over something and it still, like, keeps its shape? That's also Tupperware. So I think she was also daring him. So you can park the car, drive over the Tupperware, still going to look like my Tupperware, but why was it at my house? It's her problem. Why did it leave my house?
I think she put the Tupperware by the garage. When you drive in, you can see the Tupperware there. You can ask yourself.
No, of course.
You left the Tupperware at your friend's house, and now the Tupperware is in the garage.
How?
You're asking yourself a lot of questions. In other words, she knows. She drove all the way to go and fetch her mother's Tupperware. I don't blame her. Even me, I'm counting all my Tupperware all the time.
Yes.
But the cheesecake?
Well, I mean, Corona's Boring says, Corona's Boring says, and I think this is a good point, some people are really stupid. They can't see it at all. Love is blind. Like, if some people love each other, they were, and you do get these people. And again, I just want to say, like, I take no joy in Sonia's misery here. You know, there are lots of people who are like, they love this because they love seeing other people going through this, but their own backyard is dirty. You know, their own house is not in order. And they take pleasure in someone who's famous falling apart, and their love life falling apart, their marriage falling apart, because they're like, oh, I'm better than them. But we're all, this could happen to any of us, right?
It could. But I think there's also like signs, right? I mean, we ask, like, how do you tell? But that whole thing with just being in the home and like exerting all that energy, making, imagine being in the kitchen of your home, busy baking a cheesecake around at your night, kids and your wife.
At night. While I'm sleeping. Why can't you leave a piece of cake for my children to test in the morning? So you take.
You should have made two cakes, Mama Jane. Like, you should have made two.
Yeah,
you should have made two cakes.
Left
one and then taken
one for my kids.
Let me ask you something. First of all, I'm very impressed this guy could make a cheesecake. I mean, I couldn't.
Gareth, as someone who has made cheesecake before, the baked version, that thing is not easy. It takes a bit of time and it has to sit for a couple of hours. So he did actually put in some work in it. It's like, it's thought. It's like, oh my gosh, you had to get the ingredients, you had to mix things up, you had to make sure, and then put it in the oven, or maybe it was refrigerated for a couple of hours. It wasn't there for 20 minutes. It was there for, you know. And then the next day, obviously, somebody noticed that, how, weren't you just baking up a storm?
You know what I want from him? I want him to give me the ingredients for a cheesecake. Maybe sometimes at night, even me, I have to do the cheesecake so that we can taste and see if you put the amarula, you know, if you put amarula, how it was going to be. Like, I want
Corobela.
Corobela. In other words, that cheesecake was so special.
Oh, wow.
We don't know if it tasted good, guys. Well, she literally could have taken that cheesecake and been like, oh, thanks. You know, like the effort was there, but we don't know if he made an actual good cheesecake. That's still a mystery.
Do you see the video when she go to fetch the top away? She asked the maid, and the maid, she was like, out of 10, how many did you give her? She was like 9. In other words, the cheesecake was very good.
Now, are you telling me that so Sonia put all of this stuff out on the internet?
Yes,
she took the video.
It's a whole when she go thread. I think there's about 18 posts on Instagram.
Wow,
it's a whole thread. Like, there's a video of when it started. So there's a video of, like, I think the 24th of Feb. Yes, that's
no. It was Valentine's Day. It was Valentine's Day. That's where it started.
She dropped a video of when it started, and then she documented on some the audacity of him using my car. And then she's like, "No, that was a blessing in disguise, because then she could track her car and all the places that they went to, and then like the credit card." Then she got a private investigator, and she met with the private investigator, and they had a selfie moment. And then she also met with homegirl's husband, and
I also thought that guy in the picture was the private investigator, but it's not. It's actually the husband. Sonia was saying that who took the photo was the PI. The husband was the PI. See, so there's another faceless person in this that we don't know, who's the private investigator.
Okay, so
I wonder who that is.
Don't play with the angry woman. When the woman is just angry, she can keep her all the files. She was throwing all the files. Like, she was putting everything. She was telling everyone that I'm tired. I think she's tired, guys. She's been, like, tolerating this. But she was like, now it's enough. Let me expose them, because I've been, like, patient. And now they're playing some game with me. They're baking cheesecake at my house while I'm sleeping. In other words, they're going out. They're going somewhere in Limpopo to spend the night. Just imagine.
All right. So this is...
You know what was very zen about this? What was very zen was the husband of the lady, because he was like, I've been struggling with this girl for 10 years.
I've been struggling.
10 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
10 years.
Okay, so let me just remark on something here, because this is all news to me. I didn't follow any of this. The first I heard of it was when I got to the office yesterday. You guys are telling me stuff now that I didn't even know. I'm not going to pretend I give a shit like most people would, but it's interesting. Right. Like, there are a couple of things about human nature that are coming out here that's worth talking about. First one, wow, that she kept these files. She's been sitting on this stuff, as Jane says, keeping the files. She's been sitting on this stuff since Valentine's Day, and she's building.
Yes.
Talk about playing.
She's been hitting for a month and month, Babaji.
But talk about playing. Yeah, the Valentine's the Day game, thing, huh?
She set it up because Matthew was pitch side on a broadcast, right?
Oh.
So it was Valentine's Day, and you know, the anchor on the show asks everyone, like, hey, guys, it's Valentine's Day. Why are you guys here? And Matthew's like, hey, man, it's Valentine's Day every day in the booth house. And that's kind of what set it off, because it's like, Shit. Oh, snap. So she's like, she did a masterful job. Yeah. I must be honest, the way she kind of started and started releasing the files and the way she laid everything out, it was masterful. Because you like, it was literally like a soapy on the timeline. It's crazy.
I think the thing that pissed her off, Matthew forget his birthday son. Mm. I think he was supposed to do something about the birthday son. He was not even there.
Yeah.
Because he was in love. You know, sometimes if you're in love, you forget about even the birthday, you forget about everything.
Well,
you just go crazy and go out with his
Do you think it's love or do you think it's lust? Because I have to say, as a guy, you know, we're not always the most upstanding citizens when it comes to this stuff. And of course, there are women who cheat. I'm not going to say, we're not going to go down that path now. But there are a lot of guys who just, it's just sex. Do you think this was love? I mean, baking a cheesecake, something a lustful guy might not do. So that could be a clue.
Exactly. To your point, I don't think it was love.
Because all of them that are married, both of them that are married, they just say, let's cheat and see where it's going to end. And it's going to end in tears.
It always ends in tears. This kind of thing never goes well. No one ever goes, oh, well, you know, you fell in love with someone else. I'm happy to go on off on my own. Let's just call this a relationship quits. There's always going to be an ugly ending to this stuff. And every relationship that starts with cheating will end with cheating, too. I feel very sorry for Sonia listening to this whole thing. I really do.
But these people, they already tested the cheesecake while they went out in Limpopo. Do you think they're going to quit? Because if the cheesecake was tasted very well, do you think they're going to quit? Because these men, sometimes they're going to tell you that the cheesecake was hot more than my wife. It's what they do. They can say, oh, my God,
we've got a new word in the dictionary, and it's not about the cheesecake. The cheesecake has become a metaphor for side action. That's what I'm reading into this. Okay.
But you know what people were also asking on social media was like, is this the right way to go about exposing your partner for cheating? And was this the right platform? Because in as much as she documented it very well for us to like kind of know and soak up, the reality is that now she's trending her businesses out there and we all kind of talking about it, but is this how you do it? Like, is this how you go about saying, I'm sick and tired, I'm done with this? Or do you just keep quiet and let the, I don't know, if she's really done, do you let the lawyers handle it? Like, what's the best way to, I wouldn't say expose the cheater, but what's the best thing you can do if you in this situation?
I think with her, like, the only collateral damage I'm seeing here is the kids. Right. Like, I don't think we'd be having this discussion if Sonia and Matthew didn't have kids, because then it would just be for her to deal with. But now it's like, oh, snap, dog, I saw what your mom posted last night. You know,
oh, shame. Yeah.
That is what they got to deal with now. So that's the worst of it.
But she's waiting for children to finish to write the exam. She's still going to put everything out there. She's going to keep out files like she have.
Oh, wait, she's not done.
She's not done, actually. I saw last night on her Facebook, she was still posting that woman on the gym clothes. She's been sweating, this woman, eh? She was sweating, like, sweating. Hey!
And yeah, also, Mama Jane, she also spoke to the financial advisor, remember? And then now the problem is, financial advisor is saying, hubby's been digging into your kids' education money to play papa provider, to be the blesser. So again, these are the things where I'm just like, man, he there was a point where he literally must have tuned out, because how do you do all this stuff and think you're going to get away with it? It's just, it's the narcissism, the arrogance is just out of this world. So
has he said anything since she's been posting this stuff?
Nah.
No, he has not. But the friend in question has dropped a video, and she's just like, it was her gymming, and basically the essence of that video was like, we move. don't let this bother you. We shake it off and we continue. So from that point of view, we kind of see that she's not fazed. She's not moved by the fact that they're trending. And she's just like, it's another Tuesday for me.
But don't forget that Sonia, she's a strong woman. She will come back and she will fight back. And she's doing that. Sonia, she's a strong woman, and I trust her. She'll stand and fight back.
What would you do?
I know that.
Jane, what would you do in this situation?
Yeah, Babaji. Nina, at this time, I don't know. There will be, maybe they will already call ambulance for me. Otherwise, all those comments, I saw comments on Twitter, people are taking her, they're calling her names. But I don't think she cares about that, because she knew exactly what she was doing when she posted all of those things. She went, I think maybe she was tired, Baba. Just sometimes if you are tired, you just say, let the world know what these men do. Because sometimes if you divorce your husband, people, they will blame you. They will not gonna, they will not know all the side of the story. They will say maybe Sonia was there for the money, because now Booth doesn't have a money. Sonia, that's why she's leaving the Booth. No. That's why she was like, let me just keep all the files and tell people what's going on.
I think she didn't want to be the only Popeye, my Jane. She didn't want to be the only Popeye. She wanted to show everyone that everyone must see.
I'm saluting her for what she did. Because she women are dying in the marriage. Women, they stay in the marriage while they are not happy. They're just staying there for the children. They just say, let me just stay there for my children. Because my children love their father. And now look at what she's... You can't sleep at night while your man is cheating. I don't want to lie to you. You can't sleep while people, they're telling you all the time. Look at the pictures, the one that people took while he was in Limpopo, sitting there with that lady, putting the scarf on their neck. I was like, this dude, how can you do that to your wife? You left your wife at home and you lied and you say you're going to fetch something. Where? Can't do it. You're going to Limpopo. Why?
I mean, I think Matthew Naye doesn't know about honchis. Do you know what a honchi is?
What is honchis?
Papa G.
No.
A honchi is a hole in the wall kind of place, right? So there's a lot of honchis in Joburg. It's like restaurants you go to where they have a table at the back.
No one's going to see you.
No one's going to see you.
I like, what is the term honchi? Because I've seen this shit happening. Listen, I've been out to lunch and breakfast and dinner before, and I've seen a couple sitting in a corner, and you either think, either these two have just started a relationship, or they don't want other people to see because they've chosen that table.
Exactly.
Especially at the stadium. Look at that. At the stadium, if you take a side chick to the stadium, people, they're doing that, they stay at the back. If the camera facing you, you just hide your face like that. But they already checked the pictures. I've been seeing that on the stadium when I'm watching the soccer. You check the side chick to the stadium. The cameraman is gonna go straight to you.
Oh my god. All
right, they can see that you're doing things that you're not supposed to do.
Let's go to a couple of comments here and just wrap up this conversation, because we could talk about this all day. There's so many interesting things about this. I love what Red Robin says. When a man steals your wife, there is no better revenge than to let him keep her. And obviously that goes the opposite way as well. If a woman steals your man, there's no better revenge than to let her have him. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. But the thing is, now that it's come to light, you wonder if it's as attractive to them, right? There's something about it being clandestine and in the shadows. In the shadows, we all see the actions outwardly, but sometimes the part of the attraction is that, ooh, we're being naughty. And now that it's out, you wonder if that diminishes any of the sexiness of the whole thing, right? Now that people know, you might be like, ugh, so I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Let's just be clear about this. I would not want to be talking about this if it was a private situation that only we knew about, that maybe Sonia told us as friends.
Yeah.
it's none of our business, and we have no business getting involved in their relationship. But she chose to put this on the internet, and therefore, you know, she's got to take the good with the bad. It's obviously, Jane, you said she knows what she's doing. I'm not so sure that going to the internet is the best choice, but Yonder says maybe she did this for public opinion, for when she wants to clean him out. It's a smart strategy, actually. This way, it'll show that he was the one who screwed up.
Yeah, Yonder's right. That's why, and that's why I'm saying it's the whole Popeye thing, right? Is that you're making me a clown, is what Sonia's thinking. I'm going to show everybody that you've been duping us all by being the stand-up guy who's just, you know. So she wanted to say, hey, guys, that Matthew you think you know, this is the real Matthew. And so to have the court of public opinion on her side. Obviously, a lot of people who are against her are probably just not fans of her approach as to how she did it. Because she went, you know, full-blown, like,
Here's a question. Here's something interesting. And this just proves that there's no sense in this. Sanele says, what baffles me about guys is that they will cheat with a woman that is less attractive and trashier than their wife. It makes no sense to me.
That's true.
But we're not talking about this one in particular. But I've seen this happen too, right?
This thing happened. Yeah. That's right, Papa G.
But Mama Jane, it's always boils down to, what is that person doing for you that your actual partner isn't, right? What's that 80-20 rule? It's like, you know, Kohai, he's got the 80%, but there's that 20%, you know, whether it's a kink, whether it's a, you know, whatever that falls into that you might not be getting at home.
All right.
Some people...
We've got to wrap this up. Simpiwe has the last word.
So I was going to say that I recently went to a Eugene Koza show, right? And his entire show was about the side chick. And his opening line was like, you know, behind every successful marriage is a beautiful side chick who's holding it together. And all the ladies in that room are just like, how dare you? But maybe there's some truth to it.
Listen, there are some people who know how to cheat better. There's some people who know how to cheat better. They know their honchis. They know how to, you know, keep everything going at home. But they still have that person outside. Heck, there's people who have whole apartments for this.
You must wipe your mouth.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Wipe your mouth.
Just
like, there's the women, they cheat but we'll never see them, but men, when they cheat, they just want to do some show offs.
And they'll there's something about most of these guys that when they do this, they want to be caught. It's almost like that's part of the game, as they leave little telltale signs, and, you know, women will always talk about.
So do you think it's a cry for help, G?
No,
it's a cry for help.
No.
He's like, hey guys, I'm actually going through something.
No, Cunning Stunt says it better than me. Matthew will go looking for another sneaky on the side. Now his addiction is in the hiding. It's keeping it secret. You know, you get these people who have a whole double life. Right? They lead this double life where they've got one family in this town and they've got another family in this town. This happens. This is not a South African thing. This is a worldwide phenomenon. Those guys, but they always get caught. Always. And it always ends badly. So listen, let's wrap this up by saying, obviously, we hope Sonia's all right. We hope the kids are all right. Whether or not she's made the right decision, we all are entitled to have an opinion on this because she's put it in the public space. But Jane, thank you for your participation today, and we will catch up with you again soon. There's Jane Malachi. For those people who've been waiting for Jane, we thought this was a good opportunity because she had a lot to say about this morning. So thank you, Jane. Good to have you on the show. All right, we got to look at some headlines. There's quite a lot going on. And I want to quickly get to some of these because we don't want this morning to just be about gossip. Let's start off with a notorious Nigerian fraudster who's been jailed for 11 years in the United States. Now, you never hear about this. This guy's name was Hush Puppy.
Hush Puppy.
You know
famous about
him? Okay.
He is.
He's Insta famous.
Right.
Like, yeah,
he has lots of cars and wealth and all kinds of things that people have been talking about him. He is famous. I've got a picture of him here with a Bentley and a Rolls Royce that I'll put up, just so you know that this guy had like tons and tons of money, and he was not afraid to show it. I've always said, and we said this just yesterday, I think, that the funny thing about these people who share all this stuff on social media is they somehow think that the tax authorities aren't going to find them when they are putting pictures like this. He's in a Versace.
Imagine.
He's in a Versace gown. Obviously, this is in Miami or
Dubai.
Somewhere. Is it Dubai?
I think it's Dubai. Yeah, it's Dubai. Look at the number plate above the W. Is Dubai?
Ah, very good. He's got these Bentleys and Rolls Royces, and he's living large. But the guy is stupid because they've caught him. So apparently, this is the whole story. His real name is Raymond Abbas. He was ordered to pay $1.732 million in restitution to two victims. He rose to fame, flaunting his wealthy lifestyle, which boasted 2.8 million followers. I've got to ask this question, like, why would anyone follow a guy like this? But it all came crashing down when he was arrested in Dubai. According to Don Olway, the assistant director of the FBI's Los Angeles field office, he had, behind the glitz of his account, become one of the most prolific money launderers in the world. He leveraged social media to gain notoriety and to brag about his wealth. He used to conduct business email compromise scams, online bank heists, and other cyber-enabled fraud that financially ruined scores of victims. So you always wonder, who are these people behind the scams? Well, this is the guy, right?
There we go. There we go. But I think there's a lot of other people behind who are just a lot smarter than him, like who wouldn't lean into the public, you know, social media thing as heavily as he did. It's just bizarre when you know your money is ill-gotten gains and you're like, hey, guys, let's have a look. It's like, what? Are you crazy? Like, I don't know. So I think a lot of scammers rather just kind of secretly enjoy their money. He's the one where he just caved to the pressure. And that's what, you know, Instagram is. It's like, hey, man, look how I'm living. And you can't do that when you're a criminal. The influencer pressure.
No, because I don't think he was an influencer before he was a scammer. I think he was a scammer and then became an influencer. And that's the thing.
That's exactly it.
But that's the thing. He first got the money illegally. And then he was like, let me show this off. There was no pressure to show it off. No one was like, show us the Bentleys. We never asked for it until it was given to us.
It's pressure from people who have the kind of money that he did, right?
Like, but he whether knows they had like legitimate. Right.
Exactly. But he's probably saying that he saw another criminal who's maybe a bit more smarter than him doing the same thing. Because let's be honest, a lot of the time, people who get money illegally are the ones buying the bottles in the clubs, are the ones pitching up in 5 million rand cars when you're like, what do you do? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I've always been told by people who work in the club industries that, listen, don't ever cave to the pressure of the bottles around you. Because most of the people spending that money didn't get that money in the way that you and I get money. So there's a whole other world that exists where it's like, so I think Hush Puppy just wanted to belong to those guys and was like, hey guys, I can also play.
Yeah,
look at me.
It's a desperate
need. And that was
his
downfall.
It's a desperate need to belong. And this idea that, you know, obviously if you have money, then you're a better person than someone else. That a lot of people believe that. And he's obviously one of those people. So you've got to ask, you know, if these people just spent a 50th of that money going for therapy, they would not only be able to keep their money and have a great life, but they'd also feel better about themselves. They just can't help it, though, because they see other people showing off and they feel, I have to join this party, right?
Yeah.
Buy the bottles, drive the cars, get the whores and all that kind of shit that they like to. I had to throw in get the whores there because I'm feeling like that's a strong theme. So I'm going to show you a picture now and you tell me who you think this person is. Who is that old man?
Oh, man.
Who's that old man?
Oh, man, that is Sepp. That's Sepp Blatter.
That's correct. I knew you would get it, Kamo. So Kamo's right. No, that is Sepp Blatter, who's now 86 years old. Guess what he's suddenly said? He's come out in the BBC this morning saying, awarding Qatar the tournament was a mistake.
What?
You
lie.
He's one to talk, man. Come on, Sepp.
Obviously.
Come on, Sepp.
Yeah. Wait, did he not say something similar when it came to the South African World Cup that we kind of got it, you know, not the rightful way a couple of years ago?
No. So the thing was Sepp, right? And this is why if you bump into any African football administrator, they love him. And it's a weird relationship because he was always going to bat for Africa. But, you know, it was always kind of in lieu of what's happening on the back end, right?
There was going to be some payment.
So this is the thing. He was always kind of like, he pushed for an African World Cup. So a lot of African football administrators love him because he was the kind of, you know, because he was there, things kind of got swung in our favor. But you then have to wonder, like, what was that relationship based on? Was it just because, you know, hey, man, you're a stand-up guy, I'm a stand-up guy, we're mates? But of course not, you know. So it's a strange one. Like, if you ever want to get, like, a sense of how important he was to certain people, just speak to any African football administrator and they'll be like, oh, well, man, Sepp, he was one of ours. He was fighting for us.
So essentially, this was corruption done right. That's what you say.
Yeah, to some people. But to some people, the ends justifies the means, right? You know,
would I want things to go differently in 2010 so that we didn't have the World Cup? Obviously, no. It was the excuse we needed. We didn't know we needed it at the time, but it was the excuse we needed to get our roads right, to get infrastructure built. I mean, all of us are thrilled that happened, down to a man, right? But this guy's as twisted and corrupt as all of them, if not worse. He says it was a mistake. He was the president when they were awarded the tournament in 2010. The Gulf state has been criticized for its stance on same-sex relationships, human rights, the treatment of migrant workers. Blatter said he was right to have said at the time that the tournament should not go to Qatar for 2022. I don't know if he's changing his story now, but the Swiss guy was speaking, that's him, Blatter, was speaking on BBC Radio 5. And in an interview, he added that Qatar's too small of a country to host the tournament and that the football and the World Cup are too big for it. So Qatar are going to be really pissed off with him after this.
Well, he's immaterial now, unfortunately, for Sepp. Like, you know, banned from the space. And so, you know, obviously the new regime at FIFA are trying very hard to clear the stench of Sepp.
That's a good point. He was banned from football by FIFA for 8 years. That was later reduced to 6 over the Platini payment, which, of course, was the next president, right? Michael Platini. He then received an additional ban until 2028 for various violations of their code of ethics. So he is persona non grata in FIFA, despite I'm sure he's got plenty of money out of FIFA, right?
Of course.
For sure. For sure. I mean, you know, he was, and maybe that's why the African football administrators liked him. He was like a dictator. He stayed in power probably longer than he should have. You know, seats like that, you do want to kind of keep them rotating, but he ended up being a law unto himself and evidently thought he'd never get caught.
Well, he was definitely president of our country for most of 2010. Definitely. Mm-hmm. He was in charge. Mm-hmm. Do you remember he used to call the shots and then everybody here would just kowtow and they'd say, sure, President Sepp, whatever you need. So I'm not surprised. But I can't believe how old he's got. I mean, he is 86. So there he is, Sepp Blatter. I didn't even recognize him.
And court cases will age you, man. Like, you know, it's also that whole thing of like, I have to account now.
There's one exception to that court cases will age you rule. Jacob Zuma looks exactly the same now as he did 10 years ago.
Because that man doesn't take them seriously. That's why. You must slough. Don't take anything in life serious.
No.
And you'll age like backwards.
You'll Benjamin Button your way for the rest of your days.
Rebel Wilson has announced the birth of her daughter via a surrogate. Rebel Wilson, of course, the famous actress. She has shared pictures of her newborn baby on social media. And she says that this baby is obviously a source of great joy to her. She thanked the gorgeous surrogate for helping her to have her own family. I don't know whether we have any business digging around here to find out why or not, why she had to have a surrogate and she couldn't give birth to the kid herself. But either way, she's posted this. She says, beyond proud to announce the birth of my first child, Royce Lillian, who was born this past week. I can't even describe the love I have for her. Blah, blah, blah. I wanted to particularly thank my gorgeous surrogate who carried her and birthed her with such grace and care. Thank you for helping me with my own family. The best gift. I am ready to give little Royce all the love imaginable. I'm learning quickly. Blah, 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 blah. So surrogacy, this happened in the UK. It's illegal to advertise for a surrogate. It's also illegal for third parties to profit from matching. In the US, commercial surrogacy is legal in many places but can cost a lot of money. The number of parents having a baby via surrogate quadrupled in the 10 years up to 2021, and two-thirds of applicants are now mixed-sex couples. often in their 30s and 40s. So does that mean, what, like gay couples?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there we go. She said once that, she is in a relationship with a female who's, so she's in a same-sex relationship. That's why.
Yeah.
She wanted a surrogate in this case. I was just trying to find a reason why, you know.
All right.
So that's the reason. She is in a relationship with a woman, and this woman is a fashion designer called Ramona Agruma. And she said, I thought I was searching for a Disney prince, but maybe what I needed all this time was a Disney princess. Before she went public about the fact that she was in a new relationship, she was accused of trying to out Wilson as gay, the other girl. So that's interesting. There's a lot of controversy around that, but here's Rebel Wilson happy that she's finally got a kid, and good for her. So there's some news on that.
Good for her. Yeah.
All right. Anything you want to throw in at the last minute? Because we've got to get to David Smith and the U.S. elections, which I know a lot of people are excited about. That's coming up next. Go for it, Kamo.
I mean, I was speaking to some people yesterday, and I was just like, I think what for me was, you know, something I wanted to kind of touch on was, in terms of, is there anything you've gotten into? Because I'm a big gamer, right? So I just want to know if gaming has led to other kind of, you know, going down the rabbit hole. I know, for instance, I didn't care about baseball at all up until I started playing baseball video games. Oh. And now, obviously, the World Series just kind of ended with the Houston Astros. And man, I've just... It's weird because I also managed to get my like 14-year-old cousin into it, right? Because we were sitting one day and we were watching, there was a game on. And so I started explaining stuff to him. Lo and behold, I went off to go do something. I came back and he was still glued to his seat. And he was like, man, this is interesting, you know? So I'm just wondering if you've ever kind of gone down a rabbit hole because of, you know, a hobby that kind of started out as one thing. Because obviously now there's a lot of people who cosplay. There's Rage next month happening up here in Jersey, which I think is going to be great.
Absolutely.
And I think it's exciting to have something in December because less and less people, I think, are doing the trek to the coast, right? I think a lot more people are staying in Joburg from an economic and just like a space thing. I like Joburg in December. There's more space. Yeah. It feels you know, you can just
drive.
It's nice and quiet. The only thing that sucks is like some of your favorite restaurants may be closed, but, you know, the other guys who stay open tend to kill it because there's nowhere else to go. So, you know, I just wonder if like anyone has kind of discovered a whole lifestyle just from starting from something as innocuous as maybe even like Candy Crush. I mean, I installed a game on my phone for the first time 4 days ago. There's this new game called Marvel Snap. It's like, remember Snap, like back in the day, like Snap, the card game.
Yeah.
So now you can play with Marvel characters. And I must tell you, it's quite addictive. Right, addictive. I mean,
there's a lot here that we've got to talk about. First of all, totally agree about being in Joburg over December. We've brought that up a couple of times on the show. Totally agree. It's a great place to be over December. It's quiet.
Yep.
There's a lot of chilled energy, which you don't find in Joburg easily. And I like that about December. Second thing,
it becomes like a dorpie.
I can't believe that gaming got you into the World Series. I mean, it's something so outside of South Africa that most South Africans couldn't care less about it, right? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, World Series makes it sound a lot more grandiose than it is, right? It's just like it should be the North America Finals, because, you know, but it is in terms of a spectacle. Once again, I also watch these things just to see from a broadcast perspective how it's done. And there's so many things because, you know, with these Americans, sports have so much downtime that Americans have become very good at filling that time. So I'm always keen to see what's the latest trick in filling time. And so you just watch these things and you just realize that, okay, they're getting better at integrating social media. They're getting better at, like, you'll be watching something and between an inning, they'll have a little 2-minute piece about with original footage of someone starting at 10 years old and getting to where they are. And then they cut to the guy at the, you know, at the plate. It's just, you know, it's just tricks like that where you're like, wow, okay, that's smart.
You're on mute.
I'm on mute, sorry. Yeah, so look, we've got to get you back in here sometime because there's obviously plenty to talk about. But Simpiwe, just quickly, you went to Eugene Koza's show. You just dropped that in just now. Must have been pretty good because we had Eugene on last Thursday and he was amazing and people are still raving about him. So a good show. You enjoyed it?
I absolutely enjoyed it. Eugene is hilarious, but let me quickly tell you what happened after the show as we were leaving. Mm. Ryan and myself, we got spotted. Someone recognized us from the show. And I was just like, hold up. Am I a celebrity now? Do I need to start charging for my appearance here?
Can I get a selfie?
Uh-huh. And it was weird because for the first second, I was like, do I know this person? And he's like, oh no, I see you on the show. And I was like, okay. Well, how are you? Are you good? Are you great? So yeah, that was amazing.
I'm sorry, but this is going to happen to you more and more. It's the price you have to pay. Ask Kamo. He's been
welcome to the club.
Yeah, he's
welcome
been on, to the club on TV and radio for long enough to know that this happens.
I get like a lot of the time. It's like, hey, didn't I go to school with you? And I'm like, no, you didn't. you did not go to school with me. It's a lot of the time it's because you came home after school and we maybe hung out for a couple of hours, but no, you know, so it's people tie me to their schooling experience because I was the guy on after school when you got home.
KTV
so
kid.
I get that a lot.
You were a KTV kid. You were one of the first ones. So just quickly to wrap up all of this morning, Sanele says, Joburg is the best honchi in December. So.
Exactly. The honchi spaces multiply. Like, I mean, I live in the South, so one of my friends are looking for ways to escape from the maddened crowd. I tell them about all the cool honchis in here. I'm like, hey, man, if you want to cheat with a good peri-peri chicken in front of you,
get out of
know just the place.
Right, get out of your own neighborhood if you're going to cheat. That's
exactly
good advice.
That's the first start. That's like first, you got to get out your own neighborhood because people will know you and they'll see you.
Is give people tips and tricks on how to cheat better. No, we can wrap up the first hour now. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. We will be.
They're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it anyway.
We'll be back with David Smith next talking US elections, all of that and more on the way, and don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com